Good afternoon, 4:30 and 84 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
Look at the amount of money that we've put into things, the amount of legislation that we've passed as it relates to expungement, as it relates to giving people a second chance, banning the box, creating opportunities.
Governor Bevin says he has not turned his back on poor, struggling neighborhoods. He made the comment at a press conference in Louisville Thursday. Police this afternoon are searching for the person who beat a South Shore woman to death. A church in Huntington has declared itself a sanctuary for illegal immigrants. And an Ohio lawmaker is calling for the construction of two regional airport hubs in the Buckeye State. In sports, the Reds open a three-game set at home tonight against Atlanta. Bud Luke has the stocks clear this evening, low around 50. A complete check of the forecast after this news. The Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police is searching for a man wanted in connection with thefts in the Hillsborough, Kentucky area. Troopers say they're looking for 29-year-old Ash Harmon. They describe him as 5 feet, 8 inches tall, 140 pounds, who was last seen wearing blue jeans and a gray T-shirt. They say Harmon has warrants for probation violations and is wanted for questioning in recent thefts in the Hillsborough, Fleming County area. He's believed to be in Fleming, Bath, or Montgomery counties. Troopers are asking anyone with information about Harmon to call the Moorhead Post. WYMT is reporting that one person is hospitalized following a shooting in Floyd County. Police say the incident took place around 10:30 this morning at the Branham Heights apartment complex. The shooter is said to have been interviewed and is cooperating with police. It is not clear whether charges will be filed. Police are looking for a Huntington man in connection with the beating death of a 39-year-old South Shore resident. WSAZ is reporting that a search is underway for 34-year-old Zaire Monroe Sharif in the killing of Lisa Washburn. The victim's body was discovered on the front porch of a Huntington home early yesterday. Police say the Lawrence County woman was killed after a fight broke out between the two. They believe Monroe Sharif was under the influence of drugs at the time of the altercation. Governor Bevin told residents of Louisville's West End Thursday that throwing money at the community's gun violence problem will not solve it. The Republican spoke at the Western Middle School and then answered questions at a news conference. He is urging citizens to work in groups, walk their neighborhoods, and pray. Bevin says the state and local governments will appropriate some funds to help, but that will not end the violence.
I will tell you, there isn't enough of it to cause a cessation of crime in this city. There isn't. There is no amount of money from any source that's going to fix this problem. There just isn't. And so to that end, for those folks, as I said, there are other solutions that will cost money and that the state and the city are working on. And I encourage them to keep working on. But this isn't one of those solutions that costs money or provides money.
Louisville police say there were 124 homicides in the city last year, and there have already been 52 through May of this year. State Senator Gerald Neal says the recommendations he heard from Governor Bevin Thursday convince him that the governor doesn't really understand the problem of violent crime in Louisville. The Democrat represents the city. Neal spoke with Spectrum News.
What he suggests, those are things that, they're not that they're bad principles. They've been going on for decades in our communities. I got three blocks myself. But that's not going to solve this problem. It's too complex. It takes resources. If his message was, I'm bringing resources and I'm going to coordinate them with your organizers like the mayor's office and community leaders and community initiatives, then that makes sense to me.
Neal says residents of Louisville's West Side have been doing the things Governor Bevin advocated for many years. WKYT is reporting one man has been charged with arson in an apartment fire in downtown Winchester. Emergency crews responded to the blaze in the three-story building on North Main Street last night. Billy Ross, a resident of the apartment complex, was arrested. Police say Ross told them he lit his curtains on fire because he was tired of people robbing him. Firefighters say at least three people were rescued with a fire ladder. Three people were taken to the hospital. Two men who say they're students at Marshall University face charges after 4 pounds of high-grade marijuana were mailed to a former fraternity house. The Herald-Dispatch reports 19-year-old Eric Nguyen and 23-year-old Andrew Gifford were arrested shortly after the package was delivered Wednesday to a Huntington residence that houses the local Pi Kappa Phi chapter. According to criminal complaints from Cabell County Magistrate Court, both men told a judge they attended the university, which the school has not confirmed. Court documents say police found marijuana, digital scales, and several $1,000 in Nguyen's bedroom, which led to more marijuana found during a raid of Gifford's apartment, which was nearby. Nguyen's bond is set at $100,000, Gifford's at $120,000. Congressional reaction in Kentucky to President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord is falling along party lines. Republican Congressman Hal Rogers applauds the choice, saying the agreement to reduce fossil fuel emissions by 30% by 2025 jeopardizes Kentucky jobs. GOP Senators Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul also defended the decision. They say it'll protect middle-class families from higher energy prices. However, Democrat Congressman John Yarmuth of Louisville thinks President Trump's move is a blow to U.S. credibility. Here is KNN's Haley Hansen.
Representative John Yarmuth says, quote, President Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Accord makes clear that the United States is not only abdicating its role as a world leader, but is staking a claim as one of the great threats to global progress. Yarmuth says Trump's decision betrays our allies, undermines our credibility, and exacerbates a global catastrophe. Yarmuth ends by saying, despite what Trump claims, doubling down on denial will not bring back coal jobs, and, quote, the bliss of this ignorant misstep will be short-lived once the dire consequences begin to take their toll.
That is Haley Hansen of the Kentucky News Network. The First Congregational United Church of Christ in Huntington has declared itself a sanctuary church. It's a response to President Trump's efforts to tighten the nation's immigration laws. Sanctuary churches are considered safe havens for illegal immigrants who fear deportation. The church made its declaration Thursday to coincide with its 145th anniversary. Church minister Chana Dixon tells WLWK she wants illegals to know they always have a place where they can go for help.
Statistically, in West Virginia, there have been about 130 people that have been designated and sought after during this whole situation in the government. And we just want a place for people to understand that you are welcomed here, and we can help you to gear yourself through a process to make yourself legal, to help you in those situations.
Reverend Dixon stresses that the sanctuary declaration does not apply to people who have a criminal history. Legislation has been introduced in the Ohio General Assembly to build two major airport hubs, one in northeast Ohio and one in the southwest part of the state, at the intersection of Interstate 71 and U.S. Route 35. The sponsor of the bill is Republican Representative Jim Butler. Such facilities, he says, are vital to economic development.
That's really what you need in a state if you want to drive the economy. That's the new infrastructure. That's the new railroad, the new port. I mean, that's where businesses move. They move where there are major airport hubs so they can have their employees and customers get in and out of their location very easily. And in a globalized economy, it's all the more important.
Butler has suggested a 1,600-acre site in Jeffersonville that would be home to the Southwest hub. He says 4 to 6 million Ohioans would be served by the two new facilities. Motorists using U.S. 460 in Sawyersville next week can't expect delays and lane closures. While milling and resurfacing work takes place, those repairs are planned for Tuesday by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Spokesman H.B. Elkin says the project is in downtown Sawyersville at the junction of U.S. 460 and the Mountain Parkway.
That section is only about a mile and a half to 2 miles, so it shouldn't take very long. They'll mill that, weather permitting. We can't really do operations related to paving in the rain, or the contractors can't do the operations in the rain. So weather permitting, if it starts Tuesday, on a project of that scale, you're typically looking at maybe about a week.
Elkin says much of the old surface of the road will be removed before it is replaced with new asphalt. Kentucky's Republican auditor says he will review the finances of the state's court system. Mike Harmon announced today that he will interview employees and analyze bank records, contracts, and other documents of the administrative office of the courts. In a news release, Kentucky Chief Justice John Minton said he asked for the review to demonstrate the office's commitment to openness and transparency. The Lexington Herald Leader reported in April that the office was being investigated for possible irregularities with its employee-only auctions of surplus vehicles. The office is the administrative arm of the state court system and has 3,400 employees plus 404 elected justices, judges, and circuit court clerks. The Meals on Wheels program at Our Lady of Belfont Hospital has received its largest grant ever, MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the $15,000 in funding from the Raskob Foundation for Catholic Activities should keep drivers delivering meals to the elderly and disabled for about 48 weeks. Senior Coordinator Mary Ellen Conley says the program's budget relies on grants and donations, operating day-to-day on fundraisers and philanthropists. Belafonte's Meals on Wheels receives no state or federal funding. It serves Flatwoods and parts of Russell and Raceland, as well as advises similar programs in Greenup, Grayson, Olive Hill, and South Shore. The Raskob Foundation, an independent family foundation, awarded $10,000 to the volunteer program last year. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And finally this afternoon, Always Dreaming's big day means more money for the horsemen of Churchill Downs. Will Clark has that story.
The track says purses for overnight races will rise by a blended average of just over $3,200 per race. Churchill Downs officials say that including money for stakes races, the daily average purse distribution will be $568,000. Total overnight purses for the meet are expected to be $12.7 million, beating earlier estimates thanks to the $285 million in all sources wagering collected during Derby Week. That number is $18.4 million more than Derby Week 2016. I'm Will Clark.
And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Fleming, Lewis, and Mason. Tonight, clear with a low around 50 degrees. Saturday, sunny with a high near 83. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low around 59. And on Sunday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m. It'll be mostly sunny with a high near 82. Sunday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 10 p.m., it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 63. Checking temperatures around the region, 82 degrees in Lexington. It is 81 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 80 in Winchester, 83 in Ashland, and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 84 degrees. 444. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you along on this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modaff. He wonders if it could be time to do some seasonal dusting on our vocabulary.
Out here in the garage again, cleaning. Spring is a good time to clean, and cleaning can include more than cars and closets. Language needs a good scrub every once in a while, since it tends to lag behind society in the area of enlightenment, always catching up to the way people feel and act. So, every now and then, a cleaning can improve our repertoire and make it fit the world. First, gay marriage and same-sex marriage. Both of these phrases have to go. If we, in fact, do appreciate all marriages as legal, binding, and real, then we need to drop the adjective and simply say marriage and married. Gay marriage is obsolete because we have moved, one hopes, beyond thinking that two people have to be or not to be gay to get married. There is no gay test. So why are we making this distinction since the Supreme Court's 2015 decision? Time for language to catch up. Same-sex couple is also an archaic term, making an uninformed distinction, given that people far and wide have accepted that the sexes are entirely malleable, changeable by acts of surgery or simple personal choice, why say same-sex? People do not have to be of the same sex or differing sexes to be married, and they do not need to maintain the same sex after they are married. So let's just drop the adjective and get down to real language equality. You're married or you're not, whatever the shape of your skin. Another language habit that needs revisiting is the odd insistence of referring to the residents of the White House as POTUS and FLOTUS. Not only are these acronyms unpoetic, there is no reason to say them. The imbeciles who insist on saying these terms might argue they are economizing, but I've done a timed test, and saying president or first lady, if one is ambitious and energetic, takes no more time than uttering the awkward aesthetically arid terms POTUS and FLOTUS. Oh, and don't forget SCOTUS. Those people have watched too many movies and too much cable news. Another phrase that persists and that we need to keep bashing is the inane term on the ground. I know this was brought up here a few years ago, but it's time to make another siege. Let's all just accept that the default position for human activity is on the ground. Now, in those instances where being off the ground is an issue or central to understanding, say in gymnastics or air travel, then we might trot out the cliché. Before we go, please help also in retiring such losers as, at the end of the day, first responders, and one of the most awkward constructions to emerge in the last 10 years, non-life-threatening injuries. At the end of the day, some things do happen, but the only reliable thing is sunset. First responders is inaccurate in most cases. The person who calls emergency aid is the first responder. Finally, whatever happened to minor injuries? Why say what something isn't? At the end of the day, here on the ground, these improvements will bring language into line with sense. Always a nice deal. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. After taking yesterday off, the Cincinnati Reds are back in action this evening at Great American Ballpark to start a series with the Atlanta Braves. The Reds fell to 24-28 on the year after being swept by the Blue Jays earlier this week, but manager Brian Price says he still has high hopes for his club.
I don't think that anyone in the league is going to be able to separate themselves so much, or two teams, or three teams, to where a team that's at .500 isn't still in the race in the middle of July.